Hi, everybody. This is the Monday UK Mixed Addictions meeting. And today we have Doreen, who will speak on step five. Take it away, Doreen.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. And thank you, Lonnie, for the invitation. Happy Monday, everyone. 20 minutes suddenly feels like a very long time. So hopefully if I feel like I run out of things to say, or a creator wants me to be quiet, I will honor that and not just try to push through 20 minutes. Okay, so I'm timing myself here. I have not talked about step five in a very long time. And I, in looking it over, what I think I'm most grateful for right now is the part where it says, so I guess I'm going to assume everyone here has done a step five. If you haven't and you have any questions about it, please let me know. But this meeting seems pretty small and pretty familiar with all the steps, so I'm just going to assume that everyone has. So there's three parts to step five, as I have been taught: admitting to God in prayer, admitting to myself through a conversation I'm going to have with my fourth step, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. To be perfectly honest, sometimes when I write inventory, I may not see on my own the exact nature of my defects. That's why I need another person. And I tell my sponsees a lot, especially if they're struggling with writing a fourth step, that whatever needs to be revealed about the inventory, about the way I'm thinking about it, about what I think my wrongs are, or the nature of my wrongs are, that will be taken care of in this conversation that you have with God and another person, that you don't have to figure everything out before you go into the fifth step. And I think people, especially who are new to this BBA process, because it seems so detailed and so many people start getting so much out of it after you've been doing it for a while, the fourth step, that I should be having some revelation before I go in and talk to another person. And that was definitely my impression of it. It's a powerful process to go through an inventory this way, especially if you've never been exposed to this work before. So I was learning a lot in the four-step process, and I wanted to take all the things I had learned about myself into this conversation with another person. And that led to a couple of things happening. Sometimes the person didn't agree that that was what the true nature of my wrong was. and then I would wind up with hurt feelings, or I didn't agree with what they said, or the conversation we were having. I'm a big proponent and a big believer that this is a conversation. This is not a person in authority talking to someone with less authority. I don't think this is a, I don't think today, actually, that looking at it as a teacher student is even useful or helpful. I think it's two people on a, or my experience now is it's two people on a recovery path together in partnership with God, kind of going wherever Spirit takes us. And that has made it so much easier to share my inventory with whoever I'm led to share it with. Because before, I forgot to say this, I first came into AA, gosh, 3 decades ago. So I've had a lot of different fifth step experiences. And the traditional route was you find someone senior, someone with some experience, someone who you admire, who's working a really good program, from what you can tell. And then they're sort of going to guide you to the next right thing based on what you talk about. And as much as seems reasonable, you should follow their suggestions and do what they say. And when you come out of the fifth step, which is all very well intentioned and very good. I think what I didn't know in many of those years in doing that is that I also suffer from things that maybe the person I'm sharing with doesn't. I have beliefs that I keep secret and I try to keep hidden from people because I think they're not going to approve of me if they know things. And in this inventory, it talks about leading a double life. And that didn't stop when I did a fifth step, and it didn't stop after years and years in the program. But I didn't quite know that. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was following the rules and that following the rules was going to give me all the promises. I didn't know that I had these other ways of thinking about myself and my role and God that were actually harming me in this process. So now the part that is the most challenging to me in a fifth step is admitting to myself what the exact nature of my wrong is. And in inventory, some of us are in a workshop where the facilitator has asked us to think of the four-step inventory as a prayer, which I absolutely love. And I don't know why I've never heard that before. It's possible people have been saying it for years and I just never heard it that way, or I wasn't open to it. But I heard it when he said it. And what I love about that is for anyone who does two-way prayer, sometimes in the middle of an honest and earnest prayer, you get an inspiration or you get an answer about something, you get insight into some direction or some other thing to look at, that God can reach me in a prayer in ways I might not be open to in a writing process, on a self-discovery process. So I have been doing that as much as possible, and it's honestly quite messy. I have part of an inventory over here, and then I go into something else, and then there's another part of it over here, and then I flip the page. I'm like one of those sponsees that I used to just cringe at, where they're like, okay, here's part, and then they can't find the other part, they can't find the realization. I'm like, oh my God, how hard is it to just fill out a sheet? You know? And now I look back on that and think, oh man, I used to be so inflexible about what inventory looked like, what a fifth step looked like. And that has softened so much over the years. I'm in this little step study group, and I can really comfortably just pull up a piece of inventory and read it to the five other people in this small group without any hesitation. I can listen to their questions. I can respond from the heart. And what that has helped me see is that I'm not alone in this prayer process. I've always thought of prayer as a very direct, sort of one-to-one communication type thing. And sharing inventory with several people at the same time gives me this sense of security and sort of pulls me out of the isolation that I have struggled with for so long. It also helps that this year it was finally revealed to me that isolation is not physical. Isolation is emotional. For me, it is a state of mind, not a physical thing. And if I'm not talking about what is really going on with me, then I tend to stay isolated. So if I'm in a traditional one-to-one inventory situation where I'm telling someone what is going on with me. I'm trying to tell them, and my approval seeking or my fear of authority figures or whatever that is bigger than my desire to know God better, which sometimes it is, then it's going to be really hard for me to break out of that isolation and tell them what is really going on. And these are all things that I have been pretty much asleep to most of my recovery, and they're just starting to reveal themselves. So I can also call my sponsor and tell her, you know, here's a piece of inventory I did. Do you have time to listen to it? And she's really great at that. And God speaks to us that way too. So I guess what I'm trying to say in a very long-winded way is I used to think there was a right way and a wrong way. And now I have no idea what the best way is for you, except as long as it is bringing you clarity in your relationship with God and your understanding what is blocking you from accessing that relationship and building that relationship, then it's probably the right thing. And I love that it can be so vague and so individual experience type of thing. Whereas I used to hate that before. It was black or white, right or wrong, this way or that way. And that's all I could deal with. So there's a lot more room in my life for the unknown and the mystery, which is awesome. The other thing about step five, which I love, is how he calls out the living a double life. I think you mentioned this earlier, Jeff, when we were opening up, that hopefully what I've seen in step four and what I'm able to talk about openly in step five that I feel safe enough to talk about is, can I see, this is also part of the step study that we're in, can I see that I have spent a lot of time and energy, this is just me personally, living as if there was a choice other than heading toward a spiritual death or choosing God as everything, that there's something else that I try to live as. And when I'm hiding who I am, what I think, how I feel, or I think I'm hiding it, is probably better. But I commit a lot of energy to you not seeing me and seeing what I'm doing, then I'm probably not going to be able to identify how I'm also blocking this relationship with God. Michael says, he said this phrase, he said it for a long time, which I always struggled with, which is, if I think I'm responsible for what has gone wrong in my life, or can I see that blaming myself for what has gone wrong in my life is blocking me from God? And I would sit with that statement and think, how? So what are the things I'm blaming myself for that have gone wrong? What's gone wrong? How am I blaming myself? And once I had that down, I would look at, how does that block me from God? And usually it's as simple as, well, if I blame myself, then I am also responsible for fixing it. I'm also responsible for making it better. I'm also responsible for getting you to come around and see my point of view. I'm also responsible for helping you see why this is really important and why I need this in my life. And in this, in the fifth step, if I can say that out loud to another person, that I show up expecting, well, this happened just yesterday. I show up in my primary relationship expecting you to change so I can feel more comfortable, so I can feel safe. And what that means to me is I am trying to get my safety and security from another person rather than from the power that has promised to keep me safe, rather than God, who's been telling me this whole time, if you just trust me, I'll make sure everything's okay. And it struck me the other day, which shouldn't have taken this long, but it finally did, that in this group I was sharing a piece of inventory with, I have such a desire to control and manage. And it doesn't always come out of my skin, but sometimes it does. The internal things that are happening made it really clear that I can be acting out addictively with control, like obsessed about what you're think, how you're behaving, how this needs to change, what you're eating, what you're talking about. The poor women I sponsor, sometimes they'll be sharing a story and my alarm bells will go off like, oh, you're trying to control him and you're trying to bull. And that some of the reason I fear getting closer to people is because I can't stop that on my own. I can't not think about that stuff. I can't not figure out, I can't not stop myself from starting to figure out a way to help you live a better life, right? You're not asking me for my help. You just want to tell a story, or you're just frustrated about something and you're just telling me what happened. And I'm over here like plotting out a 10-step plan for what you can do now and the kind of amends you're gonna have to make, blah, blah, blah. So sharing that with people has been really humbling and very helpful, because now when people come to me, I can usually say something like, I'm really feeling the need to offer you some advice. And I know that's not what you're asking for. And then some people will say, oh, you know, no, that's okay. That's why I called him. Like, no, don't push a drink across the table. Okay. I know that from what you told me in the beginning, that's not why you called. So this idea that I can become closer through this process of who I'm hiding and who I am in the world, and then who God wants me to be, what God has intended for me all along, the role he's assigned, that I keep thinking he must be mistaken about, or it's too hard, it's too much endurance, spiritual endurance. He's got the wrong girl. That all of that can be resolved through this process, that I actually can, like one of the things I've learned through this round of the steps, and we're still on step five, very much on step five. Some of us are still on step four, is that I show up withholding praise for any reason. And it's really hard for me to say, that was a great job you did, or thank you for doing that for me. And I thought it was about other people, but as I was looking at it, it's like, I never tell myself that. Anything I think I need from another person, I'm usually not giving to myself first. So in this, there's a praise exercise in another program that I'm in. And so I just started noting, like, you made your bed this morning, you washed the dishes last night, you made dinner, you ate healthy, you did 30 minutes of exercise, good for you. And just start doing that. And then the need to get praise from other people or withhold it from other people It's almost like somebody inside me is throwing a tantrum. Like, well, why should you give them any praise? You didn't even give you any praise. And it's still very disconcerting to me, but through this process of inventory and then talking about it out loud and being willing to be seen and heard by other people and listen and let God speak through them has been in this prayerful attitude and accepting it as prayer has been a life changer for me. That seems so I don't even think that says enough about what it is. So, yay, 20 minutes. I'm all done. Thank you so much.